Hey, all you growers out there, Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast today. Quick reminder, our membership program for cannabis cultivators, mygrowpass.com, is accepting new members only for another 5 days. Membership registration closes April 14th, and that is so we don't have to divert our attention between marketing and handling the members. We open membership every quarter. You can jump on in. We are having a ton of fun with the discounts and the live streams and the podcast for members only. It's so much fun. Come check out mygrowpass.com before membership registration closes in a few short days. Today we have Tommy Fox from Fish Shit. That's right. We love Fish Shit. We love small cannabis businesses. So of course we love Tommy Fox. Now, most of you guys have already heard of him. But it's a really great episode. He talks about his growing career and starting Fish Shit and the product itself and running a business in East Coast cannabis. We get into a little bit of everything in this episode, so I know you're going to love it. Before we jump in with Tom, though, let's give some love to Buxton Hollow Farm, everyone. Go to buxtonhollowfarm.com, BUXTONHOLLOW farm.com. Promo code GCL10 gets you 10% off site-wide. And members of mygrowpass.com get 20% off of the entire Buxton Hollow Farm catalog. Buxton Hollow Farm Natural Products is a small, family-owned business based in Rhode Island, and they make natural soil amendments, premium quality natural soil amendments, like compost tea kits, nourished coir seed starters, precharged biochar, all sorts of great stuff for you organic growers. It's the perfect little boost for your super soil garden, buxtonhollowfarm.com. And all of their products are hand-mixed to order, so you know you're getting the freshest, most biologically active product available. Sorry, excuse me there. So again, Buxton Hollow Farm is where you need to go. Check out their compost tea kits, their biochar, everything they got going on. GCL10 gets you 10% off just for listening to the show. And when you're ready to save 20% off of all Buxton Hollow Farm products, along with dozens of other grow products, go to mygrowpass.com and get yourself a grow pass before we close membership. All right, everyone, let's jump into the show with Tom Fox. Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast today. I'm your host, Jordan River. Before we get started with the show, please share GrowCast with a friend, with a grower, with someone who you think would enjoy the show. We do appreciate that. Check out The Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith for more growing talk. And make sure to subscribe to the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast, my other show where you can find farming talk, natural farming talk, and a lot of fun stuff over there. Today we have a long-awaited guest, that's right, from Fish Shit. So many of my growers using Fish Shit from Fish Head Farms, the creator of Fish Head Farms, Tom Fox, is on the line. How's it going, Tommy?
It's going well, Jordan. Thanks for having me today, and sorry for such a long delay on getting on the show, but you know, this quarantine has finally given me some downtime.
Yeah, man, no kidding. No, I totally get it, man. You're running a small business out there. You're grinding in the ganjapreneur world. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's a tough job, but a rewarding one, is it not?
I haven't gone to work in 3 years.
Nice.
I haven't showed up to a job in 3 years since we started. Since I walked away from my full time role in 2017, I honestly haven't shown up to work one day.
That's cool, man. Fishheadfarms.com is where you need to go. Everybody's familiar. Well, let's just say most of the listeners are familiar with you here, just because you're all over the podcast. People loving Fish Shit. Why don't we just start with your story, Tom? Like how you got into growing, how you got into natural farming, what eventually gave birth to Fish Head Farms, and just your whole story.
All right, you know what? I'll start from the beginning. So in 2007, a friend of mine, he had muscular dystrophy. In 2007, we were allowed to grow medicinally in Rhode Island. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so in 2007, you know, legislation, I think it was six or seven, the legislation came about. We were able to get our cards in 2007, and that's when I started, basically with no prior knowledge of growing indoors. At that time, you know, before that, I had done a little bit of outdoor growing here and there, you know, just for my own personal, I guess, consumption, if you will. Nothing quite like growing indoors, right? So
right.
At that time, I got some books, started to read, would go on IC Mag, hit, you know, some of the blogs, and basically just started to, I taught myself how to grow indoors. You know, at that time, you couldn't go to a store and buy your equipment, you know, the way we can now. Everything was obviously a lot more expensive, a lot more inefficient. Prices were higher. And I started, you know, I started off with one light and a 4x4 hard construction, because you couldn't really buy tents back then. You know, they weren't really, it wasn't like you could go on Amazon and pick from 25 different tents. It was hard construction or bust. So I started off with one vented HPS with the Miami ballast, you know, that I probably stubbed my toe on in that first year.
Nice. Was that one of those big fat magnetic ballasts?
Yeah. The Miami ballast, AKA the new boat anchor, right? I started off with that, one light, and that expanded. Well, how I started was, you know, I used to grow so I could turn it into butter. Kyle had Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which, if you know anything about muscular dystrophy, it's a muscle wasting disease, which eventually, it takes you over when you pass away.
Oh, man.
He would get extreme relief from eating edibles. So nice. I would grow it and I would take the majority of it and turn it into butter for his mom. And his mom, you know, eventually we had a freezer full of butter and for him, and that was it. So I was like, wow, this is really, really, really got me. And from there, I expanded, I expanded my room to, you know, obviously to my plant count. And, you know, my buddies were like, wow, this is really cool. Let's get, you know, can you help me? So I started building little rooms and, you know, for friends and family. And then one thing led to the other. But before I knew it, we were in the boom. And, you know, I was well versed at, you know, how to put up rooms, how to spec out, you know, something small, nothing major, right?
But that's so useful. Like when people are first coming online. So you're helping people get up and just saying, hey, mm-hmm. you want to put your ventilation up high because hot air rises. And I love that stage when everyone's kind of coming online.
Well, you know what it was? I had already gone through a number of evolutions, and I'm sure you know this, and I'm sure all your listeners out there know this as well. You put up your first room, and when you're hitting that last nail or putting in that last screw, you're already thinking about what you're going to do differently on that next room. Right?
You could have done better.
Yeah. And then on that third room and fourth room, and I'm sure that, you know, there's people out there going, oh, he's right. You know, by the time you've done it three or four times, you look back to that first room and you go, holy moly, how did I ever operate like this? How did I grow like this? And, you know, I it just bit me. And I became friendly with a lot of the store owners in Rhode Island and Southern New England. And I would go in and basically say, hey, listen, this is, you know, so-and-so. They're going to be running at the time. Right in the beginning, I was using House and Garden Nutrients. In the very beginning, I was using General Hydroponics. By the time I had gone through these evolutions, I had started using House and Garden. So I'd go in and say, look, you're going to be growing House and Garden. They're going to be growing House and Garden. This is how many lights they're going to buy. This is what they're going to need. They're going to come in and see you. So that said, I developed a number of great relationships with folks around Rhode Island and Southern New England. And lo and behold, when I went to launch the product, these are the same folks I went back to and said, hey, do you want to take in my product? But in the meantime, my buddy who I had the card for had passed away, and his high school biology and chemistry teacher approached me at his funeral. And, you know, we knew of each other. We were acquaintances through Kyle. And he said, hey, look, I got a farm to table organic vegetable business. Nice. This is now in 14. Yeah, he was doing aquaponics. So the farm was originally aquaponics. So he approached me in 14, said, hey, I'd like to see if you could come in. I got this idea, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, most of 14 passed late 15 or early 15. I went up to the farm and, he had already planted, his clones for the season. He had a row of, at the time it was green cracked. It was, you know, a couple of feet tall and another one that was probably twice that size. So say, you know, twice the size. I said, hey, Dave, what the hell is the difference between those two? He said, well, I've been messing around and, you know, I give one tank water and the other not. And I said, holy moly, we have a product here. I said, I think we do. And I said, I think we should call it fish shit. I said, Dave, I think you're right. So at that point in time, it was direct application, right? And we were just feeding the heck out of them. And we started messing around with, the formulation and trying to concentrate it because we obviously couldn't be bottling up just jugs of tank water. So we had to take it, concentrate it, and figure out how to deliver a stable product to stores.
Right.
Obviously, we had to go through transit. And in the early stages, it was easy because we were driving every order. You know, I would get a commission check on a Wednesday. This was still, I hadn't quit my job yet. I would get a commission check on a Wednesday, order Uline on a Wednesday afternoon, fill bottles on a Thursday, and run orders around on a Friday and Saturday.
Holy
right?
Shit,
and
so, man. Grinding.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude, we bootstrapped it. And, you know, fortunately, one of my partners in the business now, I was working for his company. He saw what was going on. And fortunately, you know, he recognized, that there could be an opportunity here. And he let me do it. I was very fortunate to be able to work remote on Fridays, in which I ran Fishhead Farms Friday, Thursday afternoon through Sunday night, you know, when we stopped. But for about, from 15 to about 17, we worked on the formula. We rolled out a couple different versions of the product and different concentrations to different shops. And we settled on the one where we're at now. And then tackled the breathing cap problem. I'm sure all of you guys know, if you've bought a bottle of Fishhead or you've grabbed a sample, there's a two-way breathable cap. That's the sixth generation of that cap.
Nice. Is that like proprietary or is that?
Yeah. We came up with that cap. That
I thought
the toughest
so.
Part of, yeah, it was cool. We worked with a great company out of Chicago. And it was, you know what, looking back on it, it was the bane of my existence and probably it was my Achilles heel. It was my Achilles heel for the longest time because we think we would have the problem solved and, you know, ultimately the season would change. This was one of them. You know, we put a whole product out there. Heat would go up. Those first, you know, that first hot month where shop owners weren't keeping their AC on overnight, those first hours in the morning, stores with tin roofs would go up to 80, 90 degrees. Bacteria multiplies exponentially in the heat, and we had little shit missiles. So, you know, yeah, I remember early on, we had a picture of a drop ceiling where one of the caps had let go, and one of the caps let go, it was closed, and there was fish shit on the ceiling. And I'm sure some of your listeners remember, you know, we had the caps, and they'd be under pressure. It was a great product. Some of that sludgy stuff on the top early on was great. I would paste it around the roots of the plant.
Wow.
But, yeah, man, that was early on. That was those were some of our challenges. How do we deliver a stable product without compromising what's in the bottle? You know, letting it be alive and thrive, and you know, not make it go dormant. And here we are in, you know, 2020, and we've become we're in 9 different countries in every relevant market in
this
country.
Sick, man, that's so cool. Was a lot of your testing? Was a lot of your development? Kind of encountering these environmental factors, and then what would you look at the biology under a microscope or something and see that it was no longer living and moving? Like how did you know when something was working and when something wasn't?
You know, so that would be David. So David, my partner, so David was the science and the chemistry behind it. And that's exactly what he did.
Right.
Was going back to the drawing board and looking at, you know, the proprietary process that we follow to culture what we have in there. And, you know, kudos to David. And David would come up with his formula, and then I would run back.
Keep everything alive. It's one thing to make the formula, but then you have to figure out how to keep it alive and thriving until it gets into the grower's hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That large part of that has to do with the cap, allowing oxygen to come in, having enough residual food in there for the bacteria to munch on. You know, obviously there's other aquatic animals in there, and I say animals because they're not bacteria. They're multiple celled organisms that are living in that bottle that come out of... Well, it's everything that would be in the ecosystem of an aquaponics tank. So it's how much can we concentrate it before there's a detrimental effect on the living organisms in there?
That's
was basically the key, right? So we found a really happy medium of how much water we could take out, what we had to leave in there, and how much oxygen we had to allow to come back into the bottle. So there was a number of unique challenges, and trying to roll the product out because we got pretty popular pretty quick around here. And then, you know, we tried to expand as quickly as we could. So, you know, as trying to be a small business, two guys, David was a school teacher at the time, you know, and I was in sales. So, you know, we were working 80, 90, 100 hours a week every week. I think we still all do, but
jeez, man,
it's all for one job now. It's sufficient.
You're fucking grinding, man. I love these success stories of these small businesses. I think that's very important too for a lot of people in the cannabis industry. There are a lot of companies that are owned by, you know, Scott's Monsanto, and people don't like to hear that, especially when they don't know that the product they're buying is supporting, you know, maybe an entity that they wouldn't normally give their money to. So we love to see small businesses in the cannabis industry like yours. And I think people steer towards them because they're kind of voting with their dollar. Have you found that to be the case?
I do. And, you know, I owned a hydroponic shop for a little while in Mass. And I think the vast majority of the folks in this country would like to know that they're buying products not from the evil empire, if you will, right?
Right.
They're not contributing to the problem. And I think, you know, as the industry gets larger and, you know, more commoditized and just more industrialized, you're going to see that most folks in all these larger grows will give way and they'll be buying the vast majority of their products from companies like that. So I like to know that, you know, it's reassuring to know that, you know, we're not one of those companies. We are a very small family-run company.
I don't think there's a community out there that might be more sympathetic to the small business cause. You know what I mean? So I personally see a bright future when it comes to that. I don't know how big of a foothold those companies are really going to be able to get in the craft grow market. I'm sure on a bigger scale, they're going to crush it. But I don't know, man. Yeah. I think us craft growers are going to stick together.
You know what, man? Every time you go into a liquor store, right, you have the option to go into the Bud Light or Busch. You can go grab a Busch or a Natty Light, or you can go pay $16 for a four pack of something that was, you know, all organic inputs from, you know, clean sources, right? As opposed to just mass produced Bud Light. So I think that's what you're going to see is like the segmentation of this market. You're going to have these big dispensaries where, you know, people are going to come in and get their brand names that have been grown with heavy amounts of salts. And then you're going to have us that are still growing on a very craft level, putting in clean organic inputs, not using nasty pesticides to knock down all of the critters we see out there. So
totally. Absolutely, man. I want to talk to you about growing and maybe some advice that you may have picked up over the years. But first, let's make sure to give out the proper plugs. If you haven't tried Fish Shit, go to fishheadfarms.com. You got to try it. It's great for synthetic growers and organic growers. Right, Tommy?
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that still grow with salts. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's the beauty of my product is you're going to get, it's going to help bring out your terpenes, your oils, totally, all of the things that you're looking to get that good, clean flavor, right? A beneficial bacteria, whether it's mine or any of the other companies, all great companies. And that, let me say that too. If you're not using my beneficial bacteria, you should be using someone's. So if you're not going to use mine, please use someone's, all right? And that being said, none of the bacteria out there that folks are buying and putting into their mix can distinguish between a synthetic or organic
setup
input. Yeah, right. It doesn't know what it's eating. But the outcome is if the plant is working more efficiently or doesn't have to work as hard to break down those nutrients, then it's working in a more efficient manner. Doing the things that we want it to do, and that's grow bigger, stinkier, terpier, oilier buds, right?
Yes, man. Yeah. And I think if you can afford it, what I've really picked up from talking to the heavy hitters in the regenerative farming fields, pardon the pun, variety is great, right? Like you say, if you're not going to use Fish Shit, use something else. And I would add to that, if you can afford it, switch it up, alternate. I think that the variety, there's nothing wrong with variety, especially because like you got the aquatic side coming from Fish Shit, right? So maybe if you have more of a, I don't know, if you're using like a Recharge or something, that doesn't have those same aquatic inputs. So maybe switch it up, alternate, get that variety in there.
You got that microbial soup, as I like to call it, a microbial stew. You know, the more bacteria, the merrier. You know, the plant is going to put down hormones and you know, into the soil and call in the bacteria that it wants when it wants it, right? So, you know, the more bacteria to help the plant take up that nutrients in a efficient manner, the better. And then it just becomes, it's like I said, it's helping the plant to do what it should be doing in a more efficient manner. Therefore, it can be happier, healthier, and bigger, stronger.
Stinkier, buddy. That's exactly right. Fishheadfarms.com. Make sure to use promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. And my GrowPass members getting 25% off their Fish Shit there. Okay, before we jump back in with Tommy Fox from Fishhead Farms, let's shout out Diamond Cut Co., everyone. That's right, Diamond Cut Co. Trimming Scissors. DiamondCutCo.com is where you need to go. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 15% off your scissors just for listening to the show. And members of MyGrowPass.com get 25% off of their scissors. DiamondCutCo.com, everyone. They are committed. Diamond Cut Co. is committed to supporting the hardworking trim teams and individual trimmers across the world.
conscious ergonomic designs with fatigue-reducing innovations and extremely sharp blades that last. Their trimming scissors have been extremely well-received within the industry. That's why Danny Danko called them the cut creator in his 4 must-have grow gear items article that he wrote. So Danny stands behind Diamond Cut Co., as do we. Their scissors are renowned, and they've been cutting fire plants in thousands of grows for years now. Your connoisseur plants deserve connoisseur tools. That's right, hand-trimmed connoisseurs only. DiamondCutCo.com, promo code GROWCAST for 15% off, and MyGrowPass.com for 25% off. DiamondCutCo.com, everybody. All right, let's get back to the show.
Let's talk growing, man. Let's, what do I want to ask you? You've probably talked to many, many, like a large amount of growers out there. What do you see as their main struggles? When you see growers where they're at on kind of a broader scale, what do you find are the most common struggles, the most intense struggles that growers face?
All right. So that is a multi-part question. So are we talking, large scale facilities? Are we talking about the home grower? We talk, you know, basement grower. And like, what kind
I
of
think
grower
let's focus
about?
On home grower a little bit more, but really whatever you're feeling, wherever your heart is pulling you.
So I spend a lot of time in Oklahoma. I don't know if you know this. I've been to Oklahoma 18 times since last March. And I'm not kidding. Unfortunately, I know I've been to Oklahoma more in the last year than I've been to Connecticut or probably Massachusetts. I'm there every 2 weeks and I go. Yeah, I've been to Oklahoma, honestly, 18 times. I've been from Tulsa to Lawton to Sco. I mean, all over. And for all you guys who are watching The Tiger King right now on Netflix, right by through Ardmore where The Tiger King is. So when I'm down there, right, so this is probably a good snapshot of the country. So I don't know if a lot of folks know this or not, but Oklahoma probably has the most progressive and best licensing or cannabis program out there right now.
Right. I've heard that.
It's very cheap to get in. You know,
get like any license. You can stack licenses as $2,500 a pop. All is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yep. So basically you spend 10 grand and you can grow, you can dispense, you can extract, you can do security. So for 10 grand, everything's ready to go. There's places down there. It's called unincorporated land. So you're not subject to the codes and laws of the town. So you can just throw up a building and start growing. Right. And that's a double-edged sword. I can get into that if you want, but
sure,
Where I was going with this is, so I go to Oklahoma, right? And you know, I do one of these, you guys may have seen it online, a talk shit with Tommy. And I go in and basically I put a sign-up sheet and I get everybody from your tent grower all the way up to these guys who spent, you know, $1 million and threw up a massive facility. And I find that I start off every single one of my spiels or sessions, if you will, with asking people by a show of hand, who checks their pH?
Oh, no.
No, I swear to God, right? But you take a state that otherwise had zero experience or zero knowledge base up until, you know, about a year, maybe 18 months ago, and everybody jumped in and they thought they were going to go on YouTube and they had a buddy who came from Colorado and they knew a guy and ultimately they're not checking their pH, right?
Right.
And you and I both know that could create a whole different mess of problems for you if you're not, you know, doing that. So that was one of the original issues that I overcame there, right? And that was one of the things that any new grower that wants to get in, hobbyist, you know, you wake up on Sunday in Massachusetts, you can go to the store and you can go buy yourself a tent, a light, you know, get some seeds and you're up and running.
That's
so
sick, man.
Right? It's cool, right? But you know what? The average person who doesn't grow rolls over, goes and does all that, but doesn't know that the simplest thing that they can do for success is check their pH. So I joke, but I'm serious.
Right. I wanted to circle back and talk about the cheap licensing. Is that a double-edged sword in the sense that if anyone can get in, there's going to be a lot of people jumping in over their heads? Is that what you were alluding to?
Oh yeah. You know, and that's a lot of the folks down there have jumped in over their heads.
Right.
And, you know, I'm watching them work through their issues. I'll tell you, the market is probably my favorite place in this country to go.
That's so
cool.
Spent a
lot of time down there. The folks down there are just hardworking, kind, genuine folks. The culture is super open and super welcome, but very closed at the same time. Once you're in down there, you're in. And, you know, I went down there with nothing but advice to dispense freely. And, you know, everybody's been open-minded and just when you say something, they listen.
That's what I was going to say.
Listen.
Yeah, because I see so many people like you going down there. So many good growers saying, I'm making a trip to Oklahoma. I got consultation work. It's in Oklahoma. I'm going to Oklahoma. It seems to me like the people in Oklahoma are more open to learning and more like they have less of an ego and are more malleable than any other market that I've seen.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. They're super open to learning. You know, they're also very set in their ways too, right? So that's a good thing, right? They've got their ways of doing things. And, you know, as long as you can go down there and just be yourself. And like I'm not down there consulting. I'm down there trying to show best practices, how to use my product in your environment, in your facility, right? That's along the way, I tell everybody, I say, look, Can I be a you got a mustard on your face kind of guy? Can I tell you if I see something wrong?
That's great. What a great way to put it.
No, I'm serious. And I put that's the way I put it. It's like, do you want me to tell you if you have mustard on your face? Because ultimately, I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to be able to spot 10 things that you don't even know you have wrong. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest issues down there is PM, spider mites, thrips. All of the problems that we have here, you know, sporadically. They have down there in the masses because they've got people sending in clones, horrible genetics.
Okay.
They don't know best practices. And you go and you set up, it's the simple things. Like anybody can go out and put up a facility or a small facility or a large one for that matter, but not know that this is going to sound crazy. You shouldn't have your dog running through it.
You're right. Yeah.
And I'm not joking. That was one of my said, I'm looking, I can't figure this guy's got an amazing facility. He's got PM, he's got thrips, he's got mites. And, the door opens and the wife comes in and the dog comes in and toe walking right through the bench. I was like, bro, listen, hey, I asked you if you wanted me to tell if you had mustard on your face. Get that goddamn dog out of here. He's probably responsible for all of your problems right now. you know, stuff like that, you know, just it's simple, you know, people letting, you know, like the guy who wants to be like, hey, look what I got. 7, 8, 10 friends come in and out throughout the course of the day, going from grow to grow to grow. And everybody wonders why they've got PM.
Oh, man. It's the equivalent of not washing your hands at the airport. It's exactly what we're going through is the cross contamination. But,
yeah,
you know,
you,
that does, you know, kind of allude to the danger there, which is if all of these people are coming online at once and none of them know best practices, then the pests and the molds and the mildews and all those things are going to have a field day. They're going to thrive.
Yeah, they are. And you know what? To be honest with you, I've seen over the last year, I've seen people, you know, they've gotten hip to the game, right? And they've really quickly realized that, you know, cleanliness is one of the things that they have the ultimate control over, right?
Sure.
Who's in, who's out, how clean can we be? You know, telling people, one of the biggest things, I think, it wasn't so much, it was a lot of people coming in and out. But the fact that everybody was selling clones to everybody else was really because there was no way to get clones down there that clean or enough seeds. You know, in the beginning, a lot of the, you know, the bigger seeds companies were not there at the Oklahoma Canicon and the different shows. Now, you know, everybody's got hip to the game.
Nice.
And every single one of those shows are fantastically packed with all the best genetics companies in the country.
Oh, we gotta get
these folks are sat. What's that?
Sorry, we got to get down there. I got to go down there.
Oh, yeah, you do. Once we get out of this this Corona BS,
right?
I recommend everybody. It's a great scene. Oklahoma City is absolutely fantastic. Tulsa is a great time. I spend a lot of time down in this little town. I want to say, you know, Central Oklahoma called Lawton, and it's just an amazing, amazing town. You got a bunch of friends. Got a lot of friends down there in Oklahoma now from all
That's
the time
cool,
I spent down there.
That's
yeah,
neat.
Greg over at Voodoo Hydroponics is a great guy. He's always welcome into his house every time I come down. We stop and we, you know, have a drink on his back deck and do dinner. But
dope,
it's,
man.
It's
sounds really like cool. The life. Shout out Voodoo Hydroponics. Love
yes, sir.
It.
Yes, sir.
Fuck yeah. What's yep. We were on the subject of IPM for just a minute there. What do you like to do? Are you into these products that are coming out? Lots of natural pest control products. You got the essential oil blends.
So that's where I've always been at in my career. I've never used anything but. And if you have to scrap it, don't be afraid to throw something away. We've all been there, done that. You know,
essential oils. You said is the only thing you use.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yeah, essential oils. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I've been very fortunate in my grows. I haven't really I've never really let anybody in or out. It's always me. You know, I've never really gone large scale though. So that's another thing, right? Everything has just always been small craft. And as of recently, just for testing purposes, different lines, but, you know, essential oils, you know, different, you know, foliar sprays to try and, you know, maybe change the surface environment of the leaf, you know, sure, something that's more acidic or basic, stuff like that. But none of these high, I would never recommend any of these. I mean, even as simple as like unpasteurized milk works wonders.
Really?
Look it up.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that before. That makes sense though. Unpasteurized milk. Fuck yeah, mm-hmm. Man.
Garlic, essential oil, stuff like that. But like I said, fortunately, I've never really had to deal with very many pests or critters after a certain point in time in my career.
Yeah,
you
well,
just learn what not right. to do to stay away, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is about keeping them out. It's really that simple. And one thing that I've noticed out here in the Midwest is there's just less pests. I kind of cut my teeth in the scene of Humboldt County, where, you know, I'm sure there's all these cannabis pests that are just going from grow to grow. You know, their little ecosystem is thriving. Out here in the Midwest, when I see growers, I mean, maybe they have some spider mites, but I haven't seen a broad mite infestation bad out here. I haven't seen I just don't see the same level of pests grower to grower. I know they exist in the woods and stuff, but I don't know. Yeah. Just keep them out, like you said.
Keep them out. And, you know, I think people look over the fact that we're creating an ideal environment for a lot of these to grow. Well, we're creating an ideal environment a lot of times because we're not properly maintaining our environment, if
sure.
you will.
Yeah, tasty snack. If we let our leaves go and wilt on the plant, and if we let our plants have deficiencies and become weak, we're just setting the table a delicious 5-course meal, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing too is with this, you know, folks like to dial in their daytime temperatures and their daytime humidity and their daytime everything, you know. And then they forget there's a whole nother side of that growth cycle, nighttime. So, you know, you've got enough dehu during the day, and you're like, well, you're holding your humidity, and you're like, hey, bro, do you realize how much your humidity just spiked when those lights went off, right? Now, even if you do, you're just now creating that ideal environment for a PM to set in or some of the other things you just mentioned. So,
yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to think about in new grows. And look, I'm not the best grower in the world, right? And I learn something new every day, or I try to anyway. So it's always an ongoing thing. And I think that, you know, Oklahoma is definitely leaps and bounds better than where they were a year, 18 months ago.
That's
for sure.
Cool, man. That's really cool to hear.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the more people I talk to, it seems that everybody feels that way. Is people who espouse themselves as master growers, I rarely find are that super talented, and the growers who I find are super talented are usually pretty humble, and they're the ones saying, you know, there really are no masters at this game right now.
Oh, sure there are. They'll tell you all about it.
They'll put it on their LinkedIn profile, man. Master grower.
Yeah, right. You got your degree. You got your 4-week certificate in Northwoods College.
I love it.
But
man.
No, we joke about it, right? But, you know, I do see a lot of that, and that in the beginning, I see when just new markets in general. And I think you probably witnessed this because we've seen a couple open. You know, you see these folks flock to these new areas. You know, they get 50 miles away from their house with a laptop and a briefcase, and they call themselves a consultant, and they sell folks the dream on you know what they can do for them.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, and then before you know it, you've got a disenfranchised ganja pharma who doesn't trust anybody and isn't willing to learn and listen because he's been fleeced.
Right.
So
yeah, that's it's a little bit tough. We have to watch ourselves and really I think that, you know, if you're not in it for a living, if you're not doing it for a living, the most important thing is to learn and have fun, right? That's what we're all here to do. We're not here to crap on other people's style or outperform this person or that person. Nature is giving you a gift. Learn from it and have fun, right? What else is the point?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think a lot of people take it for granted who haven't been in it, you know, for a number of years. They don't know the lean times or the tough times or the prohibitionary times, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point too, man. But yeah, like I said, we just love to support guys like you, and you know, whatever we can do for you, man, we're here to help. How's everything going out there on the East Coast as far as the cannabis scene right now? Everything good? I know Corona's got everything crazy, but
yeah, we're on lockdown right now. The whole Eastern Seaboard is on lockdown. You know, we suspended company travel a few weeks before the feds did, just to be fair and safe to our employees, mm-hmm. and me, because I do the vast majority of crisscrossing the country. So a little bit of selfishness there. But you know what? As far as the whole East Coast goes, the weed scene out here is like it's never been before. You've got a lot of great companies that have come out of this area and made their mark around the country. You got a lot of good bud coming out of this area. You got a lot of, I mean, don't forget, you know, we had a pretty big, you know, underground community here in Amherst, right? The Chem Dog and Chem 91, those mm-hmm. guys out there in Western Mass. So, you know, actually, you know, all over New England, you got the boys up in Vermont, a lot of guys up in Maine.
Yeah,
been doing
weed
a really
Maine.
Long
yeah.
time. You know, before it was even legal and recreational, right? You had these pockets all over New England of these great underground growers that, you know, were, you know, I don't want to say would rival Humboldt, but, you know, we've been growing weed out here for a minute.
They've been growing good weed. That's
we've been
right.
growing good weed out here for a minute. So
that's right,
now
man.
That knowledge is starting to pass on to some of these more mainstream outfits, and some of the guys can come out of they're willing to poke their head up and come out of the woodwork.
Totally.
I think they've, you know, we got a really cool weed scene out here. We got a good group of folks, a lot of hardworking guys and gals who are just happy to be able to do it, you know, in the light now.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. And I think going back to something you said towards the beginning of this, when you're talking about cultivating your relationships, I think that's also the key in the cannabis industry. And especially if you're trying to get ahead, I mean, creating value for others, sharing knowledge, you know what I mean? Just however you can to contribute and develop those relationships, cultivate those relationships. I think that's key as well. And that's probably served you quite a bit.
100%. This is a relationship-based business, man.
That's cool.
You know, it's funny, too, because you think, you know, the vast majority of my sales, you know, we deal mostly with hydroponic shops, which in, you know, in the internet and Amazon age, you know, brick-and-mortar shops are a dying business, and that's where the bulk of our business come from is, you know, the ground and pound, going out, shaking hands, giving samples to these guys, getting to
nice.
Know store owners and their employees. So as brick and mortar dies in other industries across this country, we're going in the opposite direction, you know, so that handshake or, you know, twisting one up at before doors open or when they close at the end of the day, you know, that it's like very old school, right? You got
That's
that
so
old
cool.
school feeling of, where you could actually walk in through a door and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, this is my product. You know, my sales guy, Joe, he's a partner now. He came on very, very early on. He was, you know, we couldn't have done this without him. He is, he's the kind of guy who would make 50 to 100 outbound dials a day. His very first summer on the road, when I realized I was going to start focusing more on cultivating the business as a whole and putting Joe went on the road, you know, he would get up at 3:30 in the morning, and he would be in the middle of Maine, you know, by, we call it opening bell, and, you know,
That's
walking
sick,
into
man.
Stores with a box of samples saying, hey, Joe from Fishhead Farms. And he would drive 7 hours up and 7 hours home and do 14 hours on the road in one day and then get back up and do it the next day. You know, that first summer, he killed his wife's caravan. That summer of 17. Oh, he won't let us. He doesn't want to let us down. He won't let all the guys in the company. He'll remind us that we killed his Paul Weiss caravan.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious. And you need those. You need those team members. You need those killers on your team. So valuable when you get your hands on those guys. When I finally teamed up with Rob Smith for this show and he came on as producer, everyone knows that's why we're releasing shows on time and twice a week and doing giveaways and stuff. It's like, find those relationships and fucking hold on with both hands, man.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I love Rob. I mean, Rob and I, you know, I think Rob and I met Rob at a trade show. I want to say I met him at the first CannaCon that was done in Boston. He had the Atlas plant trainer.
Damn right, Atlas
so
plant trainer.
He had the plant trainer, the Atlas plant trainer. I'm like, wow, this thing is pretty fucking slick. This thing is real cool. And you know what? Rob's the same kind of guy I am. I walked up, I introduced myself, you know, we were both, you know, had that new product, new show jitters, and we kind of established the bond and relationship. And then, you know, when he came around, you know, a few trade shows later, maybe a couple of years later, and he was like, "Hey, I'm doing this stuff, this thing with Growcast." I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm in. Hit me up."
Fuck
and obviously,
yeah, man.
Obviously, the rest is history, right? You know,
exactly. That synergy, fucking
yeah, man, exactly.
Love it.
We, you know, and I like Rob has referred me to some great people, and I think I've kicked it back his way. So you know, it just feeds itself, right? This thing just keeps feeding itself if you do the right thing.
Totally, man. Totally. Well, we love you, and my fans will continue to show you support. Fishheadfarms.com, promo code GROWCAST. Get out there, support the small businesses. You know what to do, folks. Thank you, Tommy, for taking the time to talk today.
FYI, thank you for having me. Anybody who uses the GROWCAST code this week gets a free T-shirt. So order your bottles now on a 500 or up. Yeah, you obviously get your discount as well. We'll see that grow code in there. I just put it in the notes, what size you are. We'll send you out a free T-shirt of your choice. Thank you guys all for being loyal fish.
No fucking way, dude.
Fans.
You're awesome. Thank you for that.
We love you guys. Thank you for the support.
Awesome. Everybody listening, you know what to do. Oh, real quick, maybe your Instagram, Tommy, if you want to throw that out.
@FishheadFarms.
Perfect. @FishheadFarms, everybody. @Growcast, @JordanRiverIG. Thank you for listening. This is Tommy Fox and Jordan River signing off. Wishing you the best of luck in your grows. Be safe out there, people, and grow smarter.
Stay safe, folks. Bye-bye.
That's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to AC Infinity. We love AC Infinity fans, and we've updated our promo code. You can go to acinfinity.com for top-of-the-line, in-line fans for your grow. And now use the promo code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. That's GROWCAST15 at acinfinity.com. AC Infinity smart fans are the best fans that you can get for your grow room. We stand behind them 100%. If you're looking for a new fan, a quieter fan, a smarter fan, a better fan, acinfinity.com, promo code GROWCAST15. That's the updated promo code, folks. Got a lot of people asking us for that. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting. Start the number 2, finish 710 on Instagram. Every setup, every situation, we've got you covered start to finish. And shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat, soundcloud.com/JayBlanked. That's all for today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Best of luck in your gardens. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned for some live streams on the GrowCast Instagram. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.